thank you all for coming here. I'm trying to find the right time during the evening to do these things here. So I appreciate your patience with us trying to figure out a schedule for this. Of course, life kind of gets in the way sometimes. So thank you for being patient. So what we're going to talk about today, I'll take some questions at the end and kind of give you an idea of what's going on. But at this point in time, I think it's really pertinent that we try to live by a simple philosophy. I live by a very simple philosophy. I try to think less, feel more, and love myself. So it's a process of making decisions, and it helps to understand your motivation in the world. So like I explain this to people all the time. The devil lives in your mind, lives in your brain. God lives in your heart, and you are one with God. So it's a very simple philosophy to go by. Your brain is literally designed, and I'm going to go through this in a few minutes, of how emotions and doubt and all these things can really become not only, well, there's two ways they can go. They can either become an amplifier for your success in life or even just managing a tough situation, or they can be your absolute downfall. So with all that's going on in the world today, I think it's really important to take a step back and get out of our minds a little bit and get inside of our hearts and try to understand, I guess, understand ourselves, you know. So this will be a very philosophical discussion. I'm not really going into any news for today because I don't think it's that important at this point in time. We know what's going on. We hope one outcome is the outcome and the other outcome is not an option. We don't want it. So that kind of summarizes what happened today and where we are. But let's get into who we are and where we are at, which is an important thing. You know, if we really look at the situation that's at hand, the reality behind the situation that we live in every single day, the reality is nobody's ever been here before, and it's actually spectacular that this is happening at this point in time in history. At no other time since probably Christ have more people been awake or revived. So there's a spirit that's floating around the world that's indescribable. And for me, it began about 4 years ago, where every person that I would just randomly have these meetings in, at my office, and I'd get a call and say, hey, this person's coming into town. Can you meet with them on Thursday? And I just decided to, I have a simple philosophy with new things in life. I choose to be pleasantly surprised. If you take that outcome, if you take that stance in life, it makes things a heck of a lot easier instead of worrying. I'll explain how all this works and how it's really attacking all of us, and myself included, on a regular basis. So this magnetic pull is occurring around the earth, and it started about 4 years ago. You can pin that date on anything you like. I just noticed it in my real life, where every meeting I just randomly took, where I didn't know the person and just said, okay, met with them, had these just amazing skill sets. I'd meet some brilliant physicist, or I'd meet these brilliant media people, or just people with this passion to change the world like I'd never seen before. And it's intensified over this four-year period, which is directly coinciding in my own experience, because I try to focus on my energy and you know, the one thing you can control in this world is your attitude. And I've really, really been able to kind of weed out things that are uninteresting in my life because I know who I am. And I think if you boil down, and I've studied about every religion on earth, and I've read probably 70% of the doctrine that's available. And I can tell you that pretty much every religion, if you look at it from its positive side, because some do have very negative sides, but if you look at them from their positive stance, every religion in the world can boil down to one simple sentence: know thyself. That's it. There's nothing more important than knowing who you are and where you're at. So that's what we're going to work on tonight. And I'm going to show you using an example. So some of you I know on this call, and you've probably heard me give this explanation about emotions 5 or 6 times. At least some of you who I don't know on here who may know me probably heard me say this about 10. Here's how things work. So we're all in here because we're curious about the truth. We're demanding the truth, but there's a different side to the truth. There's the desire to want to know the truth, right? I think we all have that desire. And then there's, you know, the old movie saying is, can you handle the truth? So there's two things to prepare for. Right now, our souls are telling us we want the truth. We probably need to be able to prepare ourselves for, can you handle the truth? And then after that, there's another one is, do you deserve to know the truth? And I'll explain all this as we go through. And this is a pretty complex thing I'm trying to make very, very simple. So I'll use an analogy. And if I'm wrong with this with you, I'm not personally consulting all of you. I'm trying to speak to everyone and use very vague generalities. But in essence, this is how we all kind of go into how movies pre-program you, and these movies release truth, and these movies are telling bold lies, covering up truth. That's all true. Movies do pre-program. They are, you know, run this simple way. But here's the real truth behind it, is that we've all fallen for it, all of us. So we can say we're awake, but guess what? We grew up on a farm and we're the cattle. That's the easiest way to look at it. If you look at the world, it breaks down into two simple categories. You're either a cattle or a farmer. That's the world we live in right now, the world of duality. So if we can accept the fact that for our entire lives, we've been lied to and fed information to control our emotions. So if we look at the interesting thing about the farm analogy is Orwell's other book was called Animal Farm. And where does the CIA train? They train at the farm. This is literally how the powers that be think of us as people. And to be honest with you, you know, we're kind of an enlightened group because at least we now have the desire to want the truth. We don't know if we can handle the truth, but now we have to work on being able to deserve the truth, prepare ourselves to actually be deserving of the truth. So if we can break it down and understand for most of our lives, we have been pinned up in this big farm and we're breaking out of it. And the nice thing is that the wooden fences that kept us in as animals are basically made out of, you know, toothpicks. So if we can learn how to realize where the barn ends, the farm ends, we can bust right through that thing. The thing we've got to really work on is understanding ourselves so we can use a lot more discernment. So it's a word that's slowly being bastardized by ourselves without really understanding it. So discernment is the process of hearing knowledge. There's a million ways you describe it, but discernment is hearing information, using your best judgment on whether or not to believe it. In our certain case, this is a big piece of the puzzle. But it's only half of the puzzle of discernment. The other part of discernment is once you believe something, you've got to be able to fully understand it, accept it, and learn and apply is something I use all the time. If you learn something, apply it. Learn a new technique or a new tactic for something. Always learn and apply and figure it out later. But in our specific case, we have been programmed to live very, very much by the seat of our pants on emotion, because the farmers in the world, they really know how to get their cattle in order. And it's generally by making them mad or making them sad or making them scared. So we have this automatically programmed thing inside of us that works pretty much like this. The way the human psyche works is that regardless of reality, the present moment, which the present is a gift, like learning to live in the moment without thinking of anything else is where truth and freedom begins. But we as a species, we have this evil little monster, like the movie It. So let's describe the movie It. Let's talk about the way our emotions work and make it make sense, because this is a weird one, Eric. Hear me out, you'll understand at the end. The movie It, I believe, or at least I can use it as an example to prove a point, I believe that movie describes the way each and every one of our psyches, our emotions, and our souls work. So in this movie, don't worry about the kid, don't worry about the actors, don't worry about the storyline, just the basics of what it really is. The movie It is about this deep, dark pit hidden below a very scary house. And in this deep, dark pit is this creature, an energy creature, that manifests on the surface for the entire purpose of creating fear to control the people around them. So when you live in a society where, you know, I'll speak about my experience tonight with our first Bible study group here in our neighborhood. Very interesting. It kind of proves this. We live in a society that constantly stokes that evil creature. And if you're scared of clowns, it'll manifest as a clown. If you're scared of spiders, it manifests as a spider. Well, from an emotional perspective, this beast that lives inside of us in this really scary pit, its entire purpose, and this is the part of the devil in all this here, or whatever energy source you want to talk to, this little pit inside, it just manifests itself to make us scared for no particular reason other than we are not present in the current moment. Prime example, our minds work 1,000 times faster than we can actually process our own emotions. We have a processor in our head. That processor in our head, think of it like a computer. This computer has been programmed by every single thing we've ever seen, heard, or done. And for the most part, that programming is designed around feeding our ugly emotions, or lust, greed, fear, disgust, disdain, hate. These are the things that constantly program us. So we have a system that we live in, a farm that we live on, that constantly broadcast scary things that make us not very strong as people. This is a fact. This is how programming works. The way it gets broken is to understand, and here's how this beast manifests. I'll give you all an example. That's a positive example, a negative example. Say you want to go somewhere that maybe you're not real keen, and this is the simplest way. Say you want to go to dinner somewhere and somebody else wants to go to a different restaurant. You're like, I don't really like that place. It's going to suck, you know, and then you get there and it's fantastic. Well, it could have been better if you didn't worry about how much it sucked. Or I did this and I think my boss is going to fire me. So instead of thinking about, you go to work, you do something dumb or somebody blames something on you. And what is the reality? The reality is you go home, you see your kids, you're supposed to spend time with your kids, love your family, do all these things that God commands you to do. But you end up not doing it. And you end up sitting somewhere in your home, and your mind goes through a scenario where he fires you immediately. Another one goes through, well, maybe I can talk myself out of it. Or, you know, all these constant doubts and fears. That's literally the Pennywise coming out of your soul to make you manifest a negative outcome. You all know what I'm talking about. Almost everything you've ever really, really feared in life. Think back of all the things that have really scared you. Have any of those things come true? Have the other come true in the manner in which you thought of them? So say you expected a negative outcome, but it could have been horrible. It didn't turn out so bad, but to you, it doesn't matter because you manifested something negative. So it's something beyond our control. It comes from our subconscious, that whole scary pit that produces this evil little creature inside your brain, that little voice that says, another example is you get a great offer for something. So you get a new job and this new job offers you 20% more income, higher income. And instead of thinking about for a few minutes, you think about how great it is and how amazing this opportunity is and you feel good about yourself. But really sit there long enough. Sit there for half an hour, maybe an hour. Don't call anyone. Here's what happens in your brain. Oh my God, I don't deserve this. How in the hell am I gonna pull this off? You can't get this job done. This is way over your head. You can't do it. Are you kidding yourself? You don't deserve this. If you've ever heard this inside your head, which if you're a human being and you live on planet Earth and you own devices, I can guarantee 100% of you have experienced exactly what I'm talking about, where you have scared the crap out of yourself for something that hasn't happened. Now, one of the things that a proclivity that we have as a species is that here's one of the old sayings. I like to break down old sayings and their historical or their relevancy to common language. Have you ever heard the term that joy loves company? Because I haven't. I wish I had, but I've only heard the term that misery loves company. You can look back at as much research as you want, And the human being, actually, once someone recovers from depression, they usually fall back into depression. And they usually state that they missed the comfort of being sad. Think of the programming that goes on inside of a species who I believe my description of a human being is that we're biological entities, we're avatars, and we have this amazing soul created out of light. This soul that's created from God in heaven, created every one of us. The gigantic universe filled with space where time is not a relevancy, with millions of planets, stars, and other civilizations. And with all that going on, somehow he decided to put your light soul inside the avatar you live in every day. So why in the world would a creature who's created out of pure love and designed for joy, you know, we're the only species that would consistently give their life for their children. Many other species look at children as a way of, oh, well, if I die, I can't have any more children, so the kids have got to go. The compassion that we show, the love that we have for our children, is actually our energy source. Here's a mystery of the world. Your brain is a quantum computer, but it doesn't use wires and cables. It uses the energy of the universe. It's within every one of you. In every one of your cells exists the universe. Everything in the world is connected. Every species, everything around Earth. And we're beautiful, amazing creatures who can, when learned properly, communicate with our creator. I believe that's what makes us special. That's what I think of human beings. The problem that we have that exists in this world is that human beings don't think of themselves that way. Really start to look into when times get tough, like they are now, and when things get confusing, and when you don't know who's who, and what's what, and what direction lands what way, you need to be able to learn grounding tactics that can bring you back to the present moment. Because I can assure you, and I, we're all the same. You know, I've spent nights, I didn't cry for about 10 years till I woke up. And I cry about every 5 or 6 days right now because the weight of the world is on all of our shoulders. It's unavoidable. We don't have a choice. Once you wake up, you don't have a choice. We're all trying to figure out how we can help. But how many times have we gotten inspired and said, I'm going to help? And then we woke up in the morning and just, somebody else can do that. Who am I? I can't do anything. Who is David? You know, he was a kid. He volunteered to stand toe-to-toe with a giant with no fear and no remorse because David knew who he was. David understood that the only thing between him and success is that little tiny pit in his stomach that produces this really nasty clown that tells him this really awful, awful lie over and over again that you can't do things, that you're not good enough. Well, guess what? That clown's not going anywhere. Learning how to ground yourself is learning how to ignore the clown. It's learning how to ignore your Pennywise. It's learning how to live in a system where you understand who you are and you understand reality. Reality is created through discernment. We all have this inherent gift of feeling. The myth that we've been told, and I'll tell you straight up, I'm learning about more lies and more psychology tactics used against us every day than I ever thought I ever would. And I'm thankful every moment for those who are working with me and helping me to understand these things, because it's important. It's more important than anything I've been doing in my whole life. But as we learn these things, one thing I challenge any of you, to actually sit down and try to think back of all the things that your brain has told you that is super duper scary that never came true. That percentage is going to be a heck of a lot higher than those that came true. And the mere fact that that's the case shows you how important you are, because from a quantum physics level, if you think about the scariest possible outcome all the time, you are feeding that timeline. You are feeding that energy source. Your fear creates your reality, or your joy creates your reality. So when we start getting into the largest event that planet Earth has ever seen, it becomes very, very easy for all of us to get so wrapped up in our emotions, which are primarily taught to us, and they're natural. But one thing I've learned, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but I'm certainly not the dumbest man in the world. And what I've learned over my lifetime, which took an immense amount of work and tears and pain and suffering, what I have learned is that we are in a system that praises the objectivity through, what we used to praise the objectivity of logic through reason. However, now it's just lunacy, right? So we know we're in a very strange time, but we're taught that that people who can really think their way through things, they're the most powerful people in the world. Well, that's the biggest lie you've ever been told. As a human being, you are actually gifted an amazing portfolio of emotions to help you truly understand your present moment. The superpower of human beings is not their ability to think or reason. Think about this. Really think about this. We're the smartest creatures on this planet, but there are drastically vast gaps in between us, between our own species. There are some not so smart and some really smart people. It's very vast. We're a relatively young species. If we look at I'm a firm believer in other life form, then I don't think there's no possible way that they're more developed than we are. So reasoning and thinking is probably not our, we know UFOs exist. Everyone in the world's confirmed it. That means there's at least one species, there's more, and I know we're not alone. But that species is a hell of a lot smarter than we are. Why are we still alive? Why are human beings not conquered by these highly intelligent creatures that are more intelligent than we are? Maybe that's happening, I don't know. But what I do reason out pretty logically is that we're a special species because of our emotions. Because of our emotions, when we learn how to manage them properly, we become superheroes. When things can't scare us, courage becomes easy. When we live in constant fear, we consistently weaken our own ability to see the truth. So I'm going to go through some breathing exercises and things like that this coming week, especially at prayer on noon every day on Telegram. Hop on the voice chat. We'll have a couple people say a few prayers so we can get some words out there, 5 minutes, and then head to lunch and then go back to work. But it's so important at this point in time to really think about what I'm telling you, to analyze whether or not your fear is real. It's a genuine, legitimate fear that's affecting your present moment. Because part of the enemy's plan is to use our fear to control us. None of you on this call right now would doubt that. So it doesn't come, we don't win a war by remaining fearful and getting angry. Angry is primarily, as an emotion being studied, anger is a direct result of loss of control. We will not win this war if we are angry and have a loss of control. We will win this war when we learn to understand the difference between potential fear and real fear. And instead of feeding that emotion from that ugly space deep down in our gut that creates that scary clown to make us wimpy little fearful people, until we learn to shut down our brains a little bit and start using our hearts a heck of a lot more to think less and feel more, we're going to live in a constant state of being a neurotic emotional mess in the middle of an information war. That doesn't sound like a tactic that we're going to win with. So I wanted to do this tonight because I feel like you have to be able to focus in on the things you can control. You can't control whether or not the covert ops team is going to conquer the government and remove corruption and save the day. You can't really control if the CCP is going to push a button and end the world. You certainly can't control trying to understand high-level intelligence operations that went to a place called the farm to learn how to be farmers to maintain the cattle. But what you can control is you can control what your mind is feeding your soul. You have control of that. I urge all of you during these times right now to focus in on meditation, which is separate from prayer. I like to meditate and then pray. So tomorrow we'll do a quick little 60, 90 second breathing drill just to learn how to lower the brain waves, lower the anxiety and the blood pressure, because only at that point will your prayers actually be powerful. So removing the fear, removing the doubt, the crap that that stupid clown says in your head is a lie. When it comes to you, who cares what happens in Afghanistan? We don't live there. Yeah, those problems could be coming here. We'll handle them. We're great people. Good people always win. We find a way. Right now, it's important to focus in on you and how you're handling this and the things that you're doing to calm your soul and to stop feeding the energy of the fear of the universe and start feeding the energy of joy and love, because this is a spiritual battle to its absolute fullest. And if we can learn to harness that energy through prayer, meditation, through conversations with smiles on our face again, through the ability to hug those we love, they put masks on our face so we couldn't see one another. They muzzled our mouths so we couldn't share information, which is, by the way, the basis of life, sharing information with other people. They told us we couldn't leave our homes. This is what our enemies done. And unfortunately, a high percentage of our society happily marched right into it with no reluctancy. But that those people aren't us. They want us to be afraid. They want us to shut up. They want us to get less oxygen into our minds so we can't think. They want us to stay away from each other. And they certainly don't want us to love each other and hug each other. If you want to do your role in this war, you want to be part of a new future, a whole new world, it starts with you. There is no beginning and there is no end. There is only now. Right now. You need to learn yourself, be comfortable with yourself, believe in your Lord, believe in your creator, your energy source, your source, whatever you want to call it, and focus on you. Every time you get into that feeling of love and joy and happiness, which generally just comes from the family, that's why they want to get rid of the nuclear family. Communist Takeover 101, read a book called Hope of the Wicked. It describes communism very well. Main objectives, if you haven't seen it, are to eliminate patriotism and absolutely demolish religion. So if you thought either one of those two things were unimportant, they're the most important thing to our enemy. Right now, they're having rituals all over the world. They're performing things all over the world. The ley lines doing that stuff. They understand the battle we're in, and we don't. You're not a Navy SEAL. Some of you may be. In general, the general person, we're not a Navy SEAL. We're not Donald Trump. We're a bunch of normal people who have an amazing, incredible skill of being able to communicate with a creator, a source, who wants us to live in freedom. Instead of wasting so much time on trying to tie things together that don't matter, I just urge all of you at this point in time to take a deeper look at your own vibration. Are you spending time in love? Are you understanding who you are? This will be, without question, the largest challenge of all of our lives. If we don't prepare ourselves and create that real feeling of deserving of the truth, and we're continually lying to one another and to ourselves. So it's a very simple philosophy, guys. Stop listening to your mind. Your mind is probably driving you crazy. If you're a normal human being, your mind is on the monster in the closet overload. Think of a four-year-old kid. Lights go out, closet doors cracked. Think back to what you thought was in it, the scariest monster in the world, eating another monster, fighting a dinosaur, blood everywhere, and you open the door and there's nothing there. Nothing. Nothing but your mind. That's the only thing that actually created that scariness involved. I want all of you to really think about that. It's a very important event going to happen on planet Earth. We're all certain of that. And in order to be prepared for it, we need to know who we are. So that's kind of all I've got for you here tonight. I've got a few minutes to take questions. I don't want to get yelled at by my wife for the dog barking again, so I won't be on here for hours and hours. But actually, before I go into that, if you have questions or you'd like to talk or you have something, you know, to add to this, I'm not doing any geopolitical things right now. Nothing real new to do there, except to feed your little it monster inside your body that's going to scare you more. Because the truth is, we're in scary times. That's the absolute truth. But one of the things I wanted to talk about was, I just went to a Bible study. I love my church I'm with here. And this Bible study, we had 10 couples, so 10 families over there. It's a pretty big new group. And I'm in Texas. Out of this group, two couples were from Texas. My wife and I moved here from Los Angeles, and we use the word move to be not weird to our neighbors, but I'll use the word escaped California. And when I say escaped, I'm talking about literally feeling like a refugee. When we got to Texas, we hadn't been out to a meal in a restaurant around other people in 8 or 9 months. And here it was awake and alive, and every restaurant was open. And for about 3 weeks, we had a glazed look in our eye. We forgot what freedom looked like, and we were awkward socially. It took us about a month to actually realize that it was okay to go talk to our neighbor and that we didn't have to wear a mask and all this weird stuff. And I never wore one, so I was used to getting yelled at anyway. But the other people in my group, we had somebody who just moved here from Seattle. Nice conservative Christian couple. We're happy to have them here. I could see the glazed look in their eye. We had another lady who came from Portland. She moved here from Portland a month ago. She was telling us horror stories about Portland, which maybe opened up my eyes a little bit to say that this is probably the best chat to have tonight, is more the spirituality behind this. But more importantly, it ties back into politics. Here's somebody in Portland, Oregon, in the free country of the United States, who told us straight up there was one church open within 50 miles of her town, and no one goes there because no one believes in religion. If you want to know how bad it is where you're at, look at your churches. If your churches are empty, start telling people to go. We are living in a time, and I don't care about church. I'll give you my philosophy on church. I found a church I love, and I love going there, but a church is anywhere you are. If you want to speak with God, go walk in the woods. Get the hell away from a city. He doesn't exist there. The devil does. Go out in nature. Remove the ceiling, and you can speak directly to God. Go outside. That's church. Anywhere you're at is church. I happen to like my community that goes to this building to talk about Jesus. And they don't really hit you up for money a lot because everyone just kind of gets the game. It's not that whole part. My philosophy is, and this is not philosophy, this is how it works throughout history. Why was Jesus killed? He was killed because he was a false Messiah to the Jews who turned him over to the Romans. That's the story we're told. Jesus was killed because he turned over the tables on the money changers and told them to get the heck out of his father's house. That would have hurt the churches pretty bad. Those people are still pretty much running the earth. And their time is about over. The game is up. I speak to a lot of people who listen in on these calls and they listen to other chats and they're just trying to get a feel for what's going on. And the overwhelming sentiment is, at no point in time in history did they even think this many people would be aware of the game being played on them. However, since we just woke up to it, we don't really fully understand the game. So fantastic news is, as we all know, light gets rid of darkness. The light is coming. If it is tomorrow, if it's the next day, or if you know, they get sent in the National Guard to DC with Pleiadians and scary monsters that came from, none of that stuff matters. It doesn't matter. And it's all interesting and exciting. You've heard me talk about it. I love it. I think right now is just the time to really start thinking about yourselves, focusing in on the things that matter. Your family, your life, love, God, all the rest of it will figure itself out. So that's all I got. Get your hands up. Mel, let's give us a question. I'm going to do exactly like, I'm going to go like 11:15. This is as long as I can go tonight. Who do we have up first, Mel?
We got Johnny Ice. And Johnny Eric, Ice. I just got to tell you, are a remarkable person, and we appreciate you so much. It's literally an honor to know you.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to help.
Absolutely. Sorry. How's it going?
Go ahead, Eric? Johnny. Hey, Johnny.
That's an incredible movie that you used to compare this moment in life to. And I'm grateful for it because it's one of my favorites. Because obviously, you know, clowns and all that type of stuff is insane. But my question, per se, I don't necessarily have a question.
Spit it out, Johnny. Spit it out, brother.
All right. I believe if you ever seen the movie Stigmata.
Yes.
All right. You can praise God wherever you are.
Absolutely. And you should. And you absolutely should.
And the story I have for you is my daughter gave me my Bible and went to a page and said, Daddy, read this. Samuel 17:17. And the first words of it was, now Jonathan. I've never been smacked in the face like that before. I believe.
Samuel what?
17:17.
That's strange enough right there.
Now Jonathan. I think my daughter is like blessed like that. She's a 3-year-old, but she always takes my Bible.
You want to know an interesting thing that I can't prove because no human on earth can yet? Is I believe that we're all born, and we all have the philosophy of we're born pure. Right, as children.
With that natural, pure. Yes.
Right, but here's it: the secret to intelligence, the secret to living longer or living happier, is the imagination that children have, and that's kind of been the best part of this whole movement. Is think of how much imagination you've had to expend to try to even comprehend what reality is. Now we have no clue what reality. If you can accept the fact, if you know what reality is right now, hang up. you're a lunatic. None of us understand reality. We never have. Part of a great awakening is simply the understanding of reality. So
absolutely, you know,
that's such a beautiful thing, Johnny. Thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you for letting me share it, man. And Eric's always a God pleasure talking to you, man. God bless you. All right.
Who do we got next here, Mel?
Gypsy.
Hey, how are you tonight?
Doing good. How are you, Gypsy?
I'm doing fine. Eric, I would like to thank you. Your talk is just very inspiring. What you have been talking about, we were talking about in 2005, 2006, all of this stuff. And it kind of went by the wayside, and now here it is again. So everything that you're saying, it's really ringing true. And I just wanted to thank you for all you do. I enjoy your prayers every day so far, and I've been there. So thank you, and keep it up.
They're not my prayers, they're our prayers.
That's right, they're our prayers. But you know, that you're speaking, and it's your voice. You have a beautiful voice.
Okay, I disagree with you. I've heard my recordings.
Well, I know. None of us ever really like our voices, but you really do have a very calming voice, very authoritative. You know what you're talking about, and it's really refreshing. And thank you again.
You bet. Thanks, Gypsy.
All right. Bye.
Bye bye. And if you want to ask a question or just chat or whatever you're curious about or didn't like, I'm also a free speech advocate. If you hate what I had to say, get on and tell me that. You're absolute right. I will not kick you off for it unless you curse and get out of hand. What do we have next here, Mel?
Seattle is unmuted.
Seattle. How are you? Oh, unmute yourself. You are talking to yourself currently.
Wow, well, I do that all the time.
And how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good, sir. Are you available just to have maybe a 10-minute chat, not in public?
Pertaining to what?
Well, that's a good question. You know what? I'd curse right now, but I don't think it would go over well. Just pertaining to Nobby, like, it's just like I looked you up, man. Yeah, you did. I didn't expect that one, and I think you did good there. But no, it's I'm not late to this party. I've been at this party since 2001 / 9/11 or 12, whatever you want to say. But I'm late to this party on Telegram. So I don't necessarily know who to trust. I don't. And it's just, yes, 100%, right? See, that's where we're going to go back and forth. Because all I'm saying is reach out to me, just a 10-minute shoot the shit. Let me like fill you out on a not a public level, if that's okay.
I'm not volunteering myself to be felt out. It's not that kind of party.
I never said felt up.
No, sure, man. We'll have a conversation. Sure.
I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
You bet. You bet.
Have a good night.
You too. Who do we have next here, Mel?
Love to Live.
Love to Live. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, sir. Your stuff is just on point. It's phenomenal. Couple of things to reiterate on. Per HeartMath Institute, you may be familiar. If you're not, it's phenomenal. Just a great learning piece there.
Explain it to me.
HeartMath Institute, it studies the vibration of the heart. These were just a couple of quick things off the top of my, or something quick off the top of my head, but they literally do scientific studies based upon how the heart is so incredibly powerful, like energy, like they study the energy vibrations and they've done it off the mind, and they can measure out from the mind from 2 to 3 feet away from a person, like having scientific measurements there, right?
Yes, however, the heart beats 6 feet away. That's why they try to keep us 6 feet away as well.
On the heart, they're able to do it anywhere from 12 to 15 feet. And so the heart is literally about 3 to 5 times stronger or more powerful. And you could look at that as even on an exponential basis from where the mind is. And so just kind of tracking that a little bit from putting a little bit of logic into what you were expressing.
My research is a little different, but I'd love to see it.
Yeah, and regardless, the same premise is there. Whether it's 6 feet or 15 feet, it doesn't really matter, right? The same overall basis is that the heart is immensely more powerful than the brain or mind could potentially ever be. Additionally on that, though, I'm taking a look at the mind, though, and you were speaking to emotion, is that the way that the brain functions, it literally processes through any thought or anything that happens or any action that you end up taking on. It processes through the emotional center of the brain before it goes to anything else. So it doesn't matter how much of an engineer you are, how much of a calculus too smart to teach person you are, or how much you think emotion doesn't have anything to play into it. Every single aspect of it is literally played through the emotional center before it goes into any logical or any other aspect of it. So,
of course,
honing in on that emotional basis is
everything is tied to it. That's what allows us to be controlled, and it's what will allow us to break free.
And just to go into the on a gentleman's note of it, a true man knows what it is to cry. And I wholeheartedly acknowledge you for being willing to go there. It's not an easy place to go, especially with the programming conditioning that we've taken on and the He-Man role or whatever it is, that there is a greater He-Man aspect to us being that Well, it really ties in the masculine and the feminine, and that the truest nature of any being is being able to overlap and being both fully masculine and fully feminine. So anyway, just a couple of quick thoughts there.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Always good talking with you, my friend.
Have a great night, sir.
You too. You too. We got anybody else here, Mel?
No, not that I'm seeing.
All right. We can keep it short. One or two anyway this evening. So very simple point. You know, think less, feel more, love yourself. Don't worry about that little crazy little monster that comes in your brain to scare you and tell you you can't do things, because you can. First thing you have to be able to do, though, is to be able to ground yourself, live in the present moment, and accurately assess you, the actual effects of your life, and then whether it's worth investing emotion into any other news. Find yourselves, and you, everything will be okay. I want to thank you all for stopping in here tonight. It was nice and quick. Just wanted to get a quick thing out there for you. We'll have a chat with you tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow we will have Simon back. So we'll be talking about a lot of ancient history and probably some biblical stuff and all the interesting mysteries of ancient worlds, which is always fascinating. I've had, I don't know, 1,000 hours of conversation with him about that in my life. And I think you guys will really enjoy it. So we'll see you tomorrow, probably around 9:30 again, maybe 10 o'clock, depending on how the day's going. Until then, you all stay safe. We'll see you tomorrow at noon for prayer. Let's weaponize the stuff and get some positive energy out there. You all have a great day.
Amen.